Herzlich willkommen zu den Marketing Pioneers, heute mit Igor Djokovic von Flix. Igor ist dort mit seinem Team gemeinsam für das globale Social Advertising verantwortlich und entsprechend tief im Thema. Er verrät beispielsweise, welche Social Networks er aktuell überhaupt bespielt. Wir sprechen logischerweise darüber, wie man das auch global aufstellt. Weil einerseits hat er natürlich die Verantwortung über verschiedene Länder, auf der anderen Seite auch aber über den gesamten Funnel, das heißt den Upper Funnel und insbesondere den Lower Funnel. Das heißt, da geht es auch um das Thema Budgetierung. Wie er das genau macht, verrät er im Podcast. Wir sprechen über Creatives, über sowas wie Ad Fatigue und über die letzte bzw. jüngste Aussage von Mark Zuckerberg, der ja meinte, dass man in Zukunft wahrscheinlich bei Meta keine Ad Agencies mehr benötigen würde. Was Igor davon hält, verrät er im Laufe der Folge. Das und vieles mehr im neuen Marketing Pioneers Podcast. Viel Spaß beim Reinhören.
Digitales Marketing bedeutet nicht nur, Werbekontakte einzukaufen, sondern auch, Werbung intelligent und personalisiert anzusteuern. Dabei liegt der Fokus immer stärker auf den NutzerInnen. Gleichzeitig müssen Unternehmen trotz veränderter Rahmenbedingungen und schnellem Wandel die Effizienz im Marketing unablässig heben und up-to-date bleiben. Daniel Distler spricht mit führenden Online-Marketing-Experten über deren Strategien und zeigt Schritt für Schritt, wie gutes Online-Marketing funktioniert.
Welcome back to Marketing Pioneers. In today's episode, we are talking about optimizing social advertising campaigns, especially also with the help of AI. So what exactly is driving performance? Where are the bottlenecks? And how are smart marketers future-proofing their tactics? I'm joined by Igor Chirkovitsky, team lead social advertising at Flix. Let's go. Hi, Igor. How are you? And what's your role and position? Would be nice if you introduce yourself for a second.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for the invitation. My name is Igor. I'm coming from Macedonia, Igor Djurkovic, living in Germany for over 5 years. And at the moment, I work at Flix as a team lead in online marketing, taking care of the paid social and app channels.
Okay. So are you taking care of the German market or also other markets then?
Yes. So our team takes care of the global presence. So For all the markets, we are present at the moment in plus 40 countries. Wow. And our services are available to enable people to travel to over 6,800 cities.
Okay, so basically your team is managing all of the European countries as well as the US. So everything basically, so you are doing
exactly,
global
yes.
social
so Europe, US, India, Brazil, Chile, recently Mexico. So yes, we take care of all the countries.
Mm-hmm. So I'm always asking a little bit about the structure of the organization. So if I understand it right, there is probably somebody like you in the role for paid search, for organic search, I guess, and maybe for other
exactly.
channels like affiliate marketing. So can you give us an idea of how your structure is in the team?
So the marketing department is quite big, and there are several teams taking care of different channels. So we have like channel ownership, and then there is the media team, there is the search team, there is the SEO team, the affiliate team, and us, so for paid social and app. So we are having in the headquarters these teams, but also there are markets that are having local teams as well for which we provide support and do some tweaks to make the marketing more localized and better in those countries.
Okay. And regarding channels or let's say platforms, your responsibility then is everything across Meta, TikTok, Snapchat and
exactly,
so on?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. So all the ads appearing on social media.
Okay. Any specific platforms that are not currently served?
We at the moment we are heavily invested in a Meta, TikTok, X is also one of the platforms that we are looking into. In the past, we had Snapchat, Pinterest, but at the moment the focus is on the biggest 2-3 channels.
Mm-hmm. So you already said like your goal is to inspire people to travel, and at the end you have a KPI set, right? probably it's the trip booking then. So can you give us a little bit an overview of like what's your overall online marketing strategy? Also talking about like how much are you investing in lower funnel, mid funnel, probably upper funnel measures? I mean, is there an upper funnel for your specific campaigns where you do kind of branding, or are you focusing on lower funnel tactics? And like, what's your main KPI? If you can give us a short overview about what you're doing there.
Exactly. So we used to be very focused on the low funnel in the past, but a couple of years ago, we approached the full funnel setting, and we have the upper funnel, the middle funnel, and the lower funnel campaigns. And in each of them, we have different goals. So in the upper funnel for awareness, we would like to reach as many people as possible. We want people to recall the message that we sent over. People to get familiar with our brand, to get to know our brand. And then moving on down the funnel, we also present different USPs. We present our app, the whole process of how easy it is to book a ticket and take a ride. And as we go down the funnel, we get like feedback from the customers, we then strive to make the ads as personal as possible by showing that exact relation that the users are interested in. It's a full funnel approach, and now the budget allocation between those three stages is very different from country to country based on the awareness, on the consideration, on the market condition. But in the upper funnel campaigns, we also conduct a lot of brand lift studies. So we learn whether there was a lift in the assets, or with the assets that we promoted. And then as we go down the funnel, we are more and more interested into the real performance.
That's interesting now because as you're managing lots of countries and several different social media platforms, and now we are talking about the full funnel, the lower funnel at least, and the upper funnel. So there are several dimensions now. What would be interesting to hear from you is like, how are you budgeting this? Are you getting like a budget for each and every country, and then your team is deciding on whether it's spending it in the upper funnel or lower funnel? Are you getting like specific budgets for every funnel step and every country and every social media platform? So how granular basically is the budgeting, the overall budgeting, and how much can you decide on your own or your team members, what they are doing there?
Yes, as channel owners, so we are owning the budget. We are the ones setting up the targets, and we are the ones setting up the expectations. So then we get the budget for each country, and then it's up to us to decide.
So one like overall social budget. Advertising budget, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So not like one for Insta, one for X.
No, those details the team takes care on further on. So in general, between the other stakeholders, we decide on the country budget, but then within the team, we decide, okay, how we are going to allocate this between the different funnel stages, between the different social networks. Yeah, that's how it works. It sounds a bit simple, but it's complicated considering the number of countries that we are having.
I know.
But in the end, we have this flexibility to decide as long as we are also meeting the targets that are again set by us. So,
and also it needs to be aligned to other media channels, right? So if I don't know if you are doing programmatic or like other types of stuff where the upper funnel is relevant, you need somehow to align the social media activities to the other channels in terms of full funnel advertising, right?
True, yes. So we sit together, all the channel owners, and then we discuss about the budgets. And as you mentioned, there are a lot of projects where more channels are involved, and we take care of different parts of the funnel.
Mm-hmm. So when we go into the social media channels now, I mean, you especially mentioned Insta and TikTok, right? So those are your main channels at the moment?
Yeah, I would say Meta in general. So I wouldn't narrow it down to Insta only, Meta and TikTok, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So is there like, are there some specifics where you would say like Meta is more performance-based and TikTok may be more upper funnel oriented? Or I mean, the question is not like Flix oriented, but rather do you see any differences in terms of the performance and the full funnel?
So there is definitely difference between the social media platforms. So if we go back in time when the social media appeared in the market, so back then social media was invented to connect people. And moving forward, all the social media now with the introduction of TikTok, everything started to be based on the interests, so not the people. And then we got people that started engaging with those interests, so we ended up with influencers as well. So all that journey, we try to tweak and adapt our strategy based on it. And therefore, we need to also make a difference between the platforms. So bird's eye view, you would notice that they kind of copy each other. Some features that one has, then you can see it later on the other social platform and something similar like that. But in general, what I would say in my personal opinion is that on Meta, users have higher intent to do an action. While on TikTok, I would say that it's more like an entertainment channel where users have high stickiness to the channel and they are not willing to leave the channel. They would like to continue scrolling and enjoy those creative videos. So it kind of aligns with your presumption that TikTok is more relevant for the upper funnel campaigns rather than the performance.
Okay. I mean, there's several measures that you can put in place in order to optimize those channels in terms of tagging, for instance, stuff like custom audiences. So using own CRM data, uploading to the platform in order to engage with existing customers, stuff like that. So basically, do you use all of those methodologies?
Yes. So moving forward, we decided to continue with broad targeting. So for this, I would go back to that basic definition of marketing, that our job is to deliver the right message at the right time to the right audience. And the algorithms on social media have developed so much and they are much smarter now that the time and the audience is now decided by the algorithm and it's doing a great job around it. So I think that now as marketeers, we need to pay more attention and focus on the creatives and the messaging that we are delivering to the end user. And that way to make a change and improve the performance.
Totally agree. I think the times are over for a very granular setup like you used to have it for instance, paid search, at the times like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where you booked your keyword and then you decided for the match type and then maybe also for the time when the keyword is served, at which cost per click and so on. So this time is over for sure. So we are talking pretty much about things like Advantage Plus, right? Where you put in a given budget and then focus on the creative. Nevertheless, what would be interesting for me is to understand a little bit better. I mean, you're saying optimized campaigns require strong creatives, but also smart algorithms, right? So smart algorithms are delivered by the platforms. They are now smarter than any human being can ever be or any marketing manager can ever be. But nevertheless, how balance Or how do you maintain balance between creative freedom and AI-driven structure? Because there's always this tension.
Yes, true. And what we can also notice that is that as the channels are developing, they're becoming more and more of a black boxes where you cannot intervene manually in terms of some campaign setups and settings. But how do we balance that? So there are options to test out the creatives in different blocks. What we abandoned as a team is this A/B testing and some very small tests in terms of elements positioning. So where to put the logo, what kind of background to have, whether green background is performing better than black background. So we've noticed that these kind of tests are having a very small impact, and we would rather test out a totally different concept with a lot of variables than concentrating on one. And that's how I think will be now and in the future, where you would promote the product or the service from a very different angle and then see whether that will resonate with the audience or not. And therefore, from A/B testing, whether this or that works better, I would rather have both versions, because that's kind of very subjective. You know, you might like the green background more than I like the black background. But rather to focus on the concept testing, and instead of A/B test, to have a multi-cell where at the same time you will rotate different kind of creatives, and then you will add a new concept and see whether there will be an uplift from the test that you're doing.
Would you say A/B testing is dead?
I wouldn't say so, because it can still be very beneficial for different verticals. It really depends on the business and what is being tested, because also within a concept you can have different variations. Then there is also this ad space, so a lot of the platforms are limiting the number of ads that you can run at the same time. So A/B test is not dead, but in general, the way how we test creatives should definitely be improved and move forward to this concept testing rather than elements positioning testing. So that would be my take on it, because you can get much more impact by testing something totally different from what you have run so far.
So how do you now introduce totally new concepts, as you're saying, in the creative space with your team? Like, how is the approach that you choose there in order to get the best out of the platform in terms of giving the best framework? And then the platform, of course, decides on kind of a multivariate testing then. But how do you operationalize this kind of creative approach?
Yeah, so as I mentioned in the beginning, we have a really close collaboration with our creative team. That's exactly the way how we are doing it. So we are testing different concepts. And this period, actually, we are having different workshops to decide on how many assets we will have by country and what will be the next thing that we will test in a specific country, because there is also this local input that we get from the local teams to do those tweaks and make the ads as relevant as possible for the target audience in that specific place. So the answer here would be with these multi-cell testings, where our always-on assets are then getting challenged from some new concept that if it wins, then it will become part of the always on. So it's kind of like a ranking, let's say, that we would like to have, rather than excluding creatives based on one A/B test.
Okay. So how do you then exchange your KPI results with the creative team?
Yeah, so we don't want to bother the creative team with so many KPIs, because you can analyze a creative from many different angles, like the click-through rate, the performance, the ROAS, the conversion rate, how expensive was the traffic by the CPM, and so on. So we try to kind of combine all the KPIs and in the end tell them this works, this doesn't work. So for them, because they're also not fond of numbers. I mean, so yeah, we try to simplify the message here and to make it digestible for the creative team. So they really know, okay, this works, this doesn't work. And then also the team strives to give them some bullet points. What was maybe the main difference between the concepts, why the other one was working and the other one not. Also maybe put some hypothesis there that then we can challenge on with the next batch of assets that we will get.
I have a general question there. Like, what do you think a creative manager, how deep does his knowledge need to be for each and every platform? Like, let's say, I mean, Instagram is working differently from Snapchat, is working differently from something like Pinterest. So regarding media managers or social media managers, you have this knowledge, of course, because you are managing the platform. You are deciding the goals in the platform. You're deciding for the budgets, and you are seeing the results, right? But in terms of somebody who's doing creative from 8 in the morning to, I don't know when in the afternoon, he or she maybe isn't as deep in the platform. So how deep would you say does a creative manager need to understand all those different specifics for the platform and the formats? I mean, there are also thousands of formats.
True, yes. So that's a job for the performance marketing team to share this knowledge to the creative teams, provide them with ad screenshots, with ad previews, so they get the feeling of how their design is appearing on the phone, how it's appearing on the computer. And they should in general know what the creative is looking like. And what are the KPIs that we as a performance marketing team are looking after? So then when we're talking about the click-through rate, we tell them, okay, this is about the attractiveness of the asset. Then when we are talking about the CPM number, that this is related to how expensive maybe the market it is at the moment or our target audience. So all those general things should be shared, of course, but for them, I think the most important thing is to get a feeling of how the ads will look like in the end. So they have that in mind all the time when they're designing the concepts.
Okay, get it.
And for the KPIs and everything, that can be then further on explained, but the most important thing is the final outcome, to have them in mind.
Okay, so another question that relates to the platform fragmentation. So with so many platforms, basically, I mean, you're mainly using two, Meta, Insta and Facebook and TikTok, but nevertheless, there are more. Each comes with its own formats and audience behaviors, as we just talked about it. What would you say in general, what are the toughest challenges in optimizing across them? Also when it comes to budgeting, to focus on some of the platforms, the specifics of the platforms. What are the challenges, the cross-platform management, I would say?
Yeah, so the main challenge is to make these tweaks and to adapt to each of the channels accordingly. And therefore, whenever we have, let's say, a big project that will be present in more channels, we always ask for some tweaks for each specific channel just to adapt to that environment and to adapt to those users that are using those platforms. So tweaks should be always be considered. You cannot run the same assets everywhere. There, for example, let's say display. So for display, you use banners all the time, and there you cannot put a lot of text. You need to be short, sweet, and crispy. Then for other channels where video is more digested than images, then you need to have a hook, you need to have the main message, then different variations of that to learn what's working the best. So in order to launch a project that will be present in different channels, there must be also a capacity to make tweaks and adaptations of the assets for each of the channels. So that's quite challenging. But there is also the support from the channels themselves. You can also, if there is an account manager, they can also provide feedback and help.
You mean account manager from Meta?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, they can also engage creative teams from their side and help with the feedback and how the final outcome would be the best to look like for their...
Do you do creative workshops frequently?
Yes, very often, yeah, with both channels.
Yeah, okay. We've all heard about ad fatigue, right? So how do you use AI or data in general to detect it early and refresh campaigns before the performance drops? Are there any like recipes you can tell us?
Yeah, so definitely creative diversification is something really important to have as many assets as possible. We actually reached to a point where we have no more space for new assets. And this period we are...
What do you mean by more space? I didn't get it.
The ad accounts are getting limited by how many ads can be run on a certain ad account, and we kind of reach that limit. And we're working this period for how many assets we should have in each of the campaigns and how often we would need to refresh them. So luckily by now with the ad fatigue, we still didn't have any major challenges. It's more like business as usual for us, but an often refreshment of the assets.
Okay. So looking ahead, what do you see as the key capability marketers will need to master AI-driven optimization in order to stay competitive? I mean, you're managing a team, right? So that's probably one thing you are thinking about from time to time, like how can you stay ahead and also give knowledge and more expertise to your team members, as well as, I mean, from us in the industry needs to stay updated, right?
True, yes. So AI is the buzzword already for 2 years. And of course, that I see it as an integral part of working in any sector, including marketing. And our team keeps on exploring and discovering these different AI features that can be used. And looking forward, I really think that AI will help a lot with the creative production, with the mass creative production. And in the case with Flix, it would definitely help us with getting more creative content around the destinations. Because on one side of the spectrum, you have small cities that are not that visible online. There is one interesting reference from Lord from the song team. She sings, we live in cities that you'll never see on screen. And that's kind of true because there are cities, destinations, regions that are simply not that popular and not visible online. Even in those image stock libraries, you are not able to find some cities. And I think that AI will really help us here to not only with the image generation, but also maybe to connect us to those people that are coming from those cities to get real photos from those destinations. So that's one side of the spectrum to tackle all these really low in popularity cities. But then on the other side of the spectrum, you have the big cities, the metropolis that you can showcase them on social media from very different angles. So I can give you 1 million reasons to visit Berlin, as there are a lot of events, there are a lot of festivals, museums, arts exhibitions, and different kind of things that are happening that bring more life in real life. So that's actually our marketing mantra, to enable people experience the world outside of social media. So yeah, it sounds a bit ironic, but with the ads, we want to stop that scrolling.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, your product, right? That makes totally sense. Yeah. So that's the bright side of AI, I would say, and what can help us as marketeers in the future. In our precinct, we said we wanted also to talk about maybe one side that may not amuse everybody in the industry, because Mark Zuckerberg recently suggested that in the future we might not need ad agencies to run social advertising campaigns. Do you think that's realistic? I mean, you are doing it in-house now, but if you think about agencies in general, would you say that's a realistic future scenario?
Yeah, so that statement is a bit radical for me. It looks realistic, but a bit radical and extreme for my taste, because I still believe that agencies that will be ahead of the game with AI and that will have solutions on how to use AI the best way possible would be still relevant on the market. And this statement that Mr. Zuckerberg gave, I see it realistic for small business owners that don't have the resources, don't have the capacity for...
And maybe not the budget, right? I mean...
And not the budget, exactly. Although here I fear from the point where everybody will end up with very similar ads that will also not look good. But then again, small business owners are not the target audiences of the agencies. So agencies usually work with bigger clients. And then as a big client, if you're not having anything AI in your marketing team, so if your marketing team is lacking behind and doesn't have any solutions on how to use AI, then again, the agencies will play a big role here if they're already on top of the game and they found the right solution for your niche to use AI as much as possible and to also bring faster, much better results.
But don't you think in terms of classical campaign optimization, agencies will need to do much less work in the future thanks to AI? But maybe on the creative side, there will be still the you need to have like unique assets and some very good creative strategy in order to stay ahead of the competition as well. And so where's the, my question is around like which type of agency will probably have a little bit less work in the future. Is it the classical ad agency or the creative agency, both, or where's the difference? I mean,
yeah, so in terms of optimization, we already concluded that the algorithms are doing a pretty good job there. You just put your goal, your objective, and the algorithm does what it can with the provided creative. So therefore, I think that the agencies focusing on the creative production will still be very relevant on the market, especially if they integrated AI into their processes and can end up with and deliver mass generation to the clients. So those players will be still be relevant on the market because in the end, someone still needs to write the prompt, right? So either you do it internally and you have a team that is trained for it, or then you still need to seek for external support. And that would be those agencies that would be having this already tested.
But maybe it's also... a lot of about making sure the infrastructure is the best you can get, right? What do you mean by infrastructure? Like you're having the best feeds, all the necessary informations are in the feeds. You have the tagging on site. So the machine, so the social media platforms are getting all the information they need in order to optimize the campaigns with AI-driven scale. So things like that. So is the social media manager also changing a little bit maybe to kind of, I would say, I don't know if it's the right word, but some kind of infrastructure manager. So you need to make sure everything fits together. The machine gets the best information via the feeds, via the tagging. Maybe you have some kind of a good creative approach and some processes that are optimized, but you're not like managing campaigns all day long in terms of manual optimization. I mean, this time is over, but is it then more of a framework optimization manager, or maybe you have a better job description?
Yeah, so honestly, I think that, as you said, the social media manager slowly gets transformed to a project manager.
Yeah.
Where you
generic, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To handle different teams, to organize a project and to get in touch with everyone that's involved in that project, including here a lot more tech support, yeah, to be able also to digest some business terms into the tech world and vice versa. So, yeah, I think that we will save more and more time on optimizing the campaigns, but then invest more in the general approach from the creative perspective. And therefore, we can see it's true that the social media manager role is kind of transforming slowly into a project manager.
Yeah. What doesn't mean it's less fun, right? It can be more
true,
fun,
yes,
because you have more freedom to really explore the channel and not just manage nitty-gritty campaigns, I would say. Yeah. So looking into the future, like 2 or 3 years, what do you see will change in terms of social media management? I mean, we talked already a lot about algorithms and the change in the job roles, etc. But like to give a little bit of future outlook, what do you see will happen? Because I mean, the journey isn't over, right?
True, yeah, the journey just started, and I truly believe that the ads on social media will become more and more accurate. So we'll have more of those moments, hey, I was just thinking about that and I see an ad now. That will be interesting. And for social media managers, I think that we will be enabled in the future to do mass testings in terms of creative, incrementality, brand lift. So everything can be managed with a couple of clicks, but at a bigger scale, more countries. And yeah, looking forward to that time.
Thanks a lot, Igor. Was a lot of fun. Thanks for your insights and also your outlook.
It was a pleasure. Thanks again for the invite, and looking forward to meet again in the future and see how everything developed that we discussed today.